Welcome to Jesus Christ in Scripture, Finding Christ on Every Page. I'm Tammy Uselak Hall, and I'm with my friend, Dr. Donald W. Perry. And we are so excited to have you join us today for a second special episode with our very special guests, who we'll introduce to you in a minute. But before we do, you guys, I want to show you something. It's my journal. Are you any of you journal keepers?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. Okay. Big time journal keeper. I'm probably gonna have to burn some. I'm just telling you. Like my journals from high school. Anybody have journals they want to burn?
Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure.
Yes.
Don's like, no, I write everything. No, I got stuff I don't want my kids reading, but this is an entry that I would have no problem with them reading, and I want to read it to you. So this was written, here's the date, April 23rd, 2017. So a long time ago. And my entry is, the last year has been incredible. Learning Hebrew has changed everything for me. Little did I know that 4 years ago, Sharon Staples, her simple invitation to learn Hebrew would begin this quest for me to know more. And then meeting Mandy changed everything. I love Hebrew. That is my entry.
Oh,
so 4 years prior to that, Sharon invited me to study Hebrew, and it has changed my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why we're all here today, is to talk about that. And so with that, I want you to kind of be thinking about this idea, because many people have reached out and said, how can I take Hebrew? Where do I start? Well, we just want to talk to you about maybe why taking Hebrew, what matters. And so we're going to turn the time over to Donald and talk to us, Professor Perry, about who's at the table with us. And he has some questions for us.
I want to say I love Hebrew too. I started learning Hebrew in the 1980s, and the Lord has blessed me with a full-time job, and I've taught biblical Hebrew for 33 years, and I've trained in Jerusalem, and I love Hebrew. I put it on my wedding ring. Mm-hmm. They can't see it, but it's on my wedding ring, and it just changes. It totally changes my understanding of the Old Testament. So I've invited four very special guests. All six of us here love biblical Hebrew. They all help me with my research assistants. Sister Miller and I team teach Hebrew 131 and an online course.
Yes.
That's a Zoom course, a special course. And so we have Hebrew, biblical Hebrew in common. And I'd like to just state a reason or two why I like it so much. One is, there was a Jewish poet who said, reading a translation of the Hebrew Bible, reading an English translation or any translation, is like kissing your new bride who's wearing a veil, kissing her through the veil. And that's so expressive, and it doesn't sound like fun to me. So,
yeah.
And then I have, but it is. We're reading the original language of the Old Testament. God spoke to his prophets in Hebrew, and they spoke back, and it's just so powerful. So we'd like to begin, and let's. Here's the theme. How has learning biblical Hebrew helped you to better comprehend the Old Testament?
Yeah, there's so much that I could go into. First, I think it's important to express how grateful I am to have the English version too. There's so much sacrifice that has gone into every part of translation and even the voweling in Hebrew and all of it to have the Bible that we have it today. I'm so grateful for that. But there are just little things that Hebrew explains that maybe don't get translated correctly or better, or you miss the dualism or some hidden gems, right? If you don't understand the language. I also think Hebrew has just, it has a different feeling to it, to be able to read God's words directly from the source as we have it in its oldest form, right? There's just something special of reading those in that language of Hebrew that is so sacred.
Yeah, I love that. And in addition with that, gaining that understanding through the original language that it was written in, you also, at least for me personally, every time through a lot of different research and different assignments as a student, being able to sit down and work with every single word, a word at a time, step by step, is such a revelatory process for me. I literally get to translate what is coming out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, word for word, word by word. and doing that and working with each word like that and paying attention to everything that it encapsulates allows me to fully feel the power behind his word and the spirit that's behind his word, the truths that are laid forth through the mouths of prophets and such things. So I just love that process of being able to work with Hebrew in such a way and for it to connect with me so personally like that.
Yeah. I love that. And Hebrew has in the biggest way impacted and changed my life. And that might sound a little dramatic, but we saw an example here where you yeah, call back yeah. to where yeah. it has. And it totally has. I think of the past 3 years and I might have been in a pretty good place, but I'm so grateful for every day, every single day, studying biblical Hebrew. Yeah. And this question is so important, is how has biblical Hebrew impacted my study, understanding the Old Testament? And when I hear a question, maybe it's because I was raised by my dear mother, who's a great lawyer, and she would always tell me, approach a question, maybe ask another question instead. And when I think of this question, I think of, in the same sense, is you could pose the question of how does understanding the English language help you understand Shakespeare better? And people mm-hmm. who study and understand Shakespeare would totally get that question mm-hmm. and saying, well, mm-hmm. you wouldn't understand as much of the poetic forms mm-hmm. or the beautiful rhythmic writing that he's using mm-hmm. and how beautiful that is. And if you translate that, you miss it. You understand the message. You understand the importance of what is being said, but you miss the full beauty of it. And that's what I see when I read the original biblical Hebrew. I slow down and I see how words that are translated into two different words in our English, our wonderful English versions, are from the same word. And it makes me connect very personally with the text. And realizing that to understand even more fully for myself, knowing the Hebrew has changed everything. As Whitney said, recent experience of translating, we take classes together and we shared with each other that in just a recent experience of translating the Law of the Fast, Isaiah 58.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a doing big that. Passage.
When we went through and we were slowing down, and that part where it says, here am I. And it's Jehovah speaking to us saying, here am I. That of my recent history is one of the most spiritual experiences I've had.
Eric, I really loved what you said. You know, I had no idea the impact that this would have on my life when I started to learn Hebrew, right? Like totally. What you said, especially my relationship with the scriptures and my relationship with the Lord, like it deepened it so much. And I love this because Hebrew, and I've mentioned this before, Hebrew has so many different layers to it. And one Hebrew word, right, can have numerous English meanings. Mm-hmm. And so when you study it in Hebrew, things that maybe were confusing or stories that maybe you didn't understand fully, all of a sudden they become clear. You see different angles and sides to things and the scriptures just become alive, right? The beauty becomes there. And kind of like what you were saying, like there's just something really incredible about looking at Hebrew word and knowing what that is and then understanding it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The scriptures are just, they just become alive. So.
It's so amazing. Mm-hmm.
These are great comments, aren't they?
Yeah.
Beautiful, powerful statements. I'm going to ask each of you a question now. Of all the Hebrew words in the Hebrew Bible, do you have a favorite word? You might have 10 or 15 or 20 or 200, mm-hmm. but I'd love to hear from each of you. If just one, just choose one favorite Hebrew word. Tell us what it is and briefly why it's a favorite. And I'll be last this time, so I don't choose someone else's. And so
that's like choosing a favorite child.
Yes. You can't.
So I'll go first.
Okay.
That way I can get mine. So one of the things about, and I read my journal, is that you don't know, is when I started Hebrew, I was in the thick of it with little kids. Mm. I married a widower who had two kids at that time. And then we had two more. And like, I was 35 when I finally got married. It was so joyous. And I'd been a seminary and institute teacher. And after being a mom for a while, I kind of felt a little bit lacking, like I wanted to do something new. And my friend invited me to take a Hebrew class with her at the Jewish Community Center. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the thick of it with little kids and I'm trying to learn Hebrew. It took me a year to learn the alphabet. Is that so embarrassing? A whole year to learn those letters.
You did it.
Totally worth it. But one of the things, as you will probably all agree, is when you're learning Hebrew words, you have to find these weird associations to remember what
they are. Yes, yes.
Because it's so... so many mnemonic devices. So one of my favorite mnemonic devices with one of my favorite words that I learned, and I'm like, I will never forget that, is the Hebrew word for prayer. And the Hebrew word is tefillah. And I remember my teacher going, tefillah prayer. So every time I pray, I think about feeling my prayer and being one when I pray and really thinking about who I'm communing with the Lord and with our Heavenly Father. So tefillah prayer. There you go. Now everybody remember the word for prayer in Hebrew.
Yeah,
tefillah. I'll remember it forever. Yes, 100%. Wow, it's so hard to pick a word. I definitely love the phrase Emmanuel, though.
Mm. Mm. Yes.
Yeah, so you can't go wrong when you're testifying of Christ, and just to know that God is truly always with us is so beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. Thank you, Haiti. And in addition, one of my favorite Hebrew words is, and I hope I say it right because I'm still getting there, guys, Emunah. Faithfulness or faith, and especially just how it comes up throughout the Hebrew Bible. I love that faith is represented as trust, because when it's used as a verb, right, it relates to the meaning of being entrusted, or you are reliable. And you see that particularly, like, one of my favorite places that I love to see that is in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, when the children of Israel are with Moses and they're right outside the Promised Land. And that's when the spies have come back, and some have a good and bad report, right? And after the children of Israel choose not to go into the land at that time, the Lord, through Moses, asks, how long will it be until they trust me? And they use, like, how long, you know, you can look at that and translate it as faith, and it 100% is, but I love that faith is embodied in trust, that it is so personal, and it's such an intimate relationship with us and our Savior. That is so tangible that we can feel it as we study and as we learn Hebrew, or as we learn the principles in the Old Testament and throughout the Bible, that it is something that is meant to be built upon and to be cemented over time. And I love that.
That's amazing. I mean, I love all of these Hebrew words. They're the greatest. They are all the
greatest.
You could
like sit and just be nerd out.
What do you know? What do you think of this word?
Like, we're holding back, just so you know.
100%.
Yeah.
Totally. And saying that question, I think of like all these words that have been significant to me.
Yeah.
I think right now there's a recency bias of what right now has been significant, has been coming to my mind. And that word is kadosh, for holy and holiness.
Love it.
And part of why that has been significant is I've been studying and pondering a lot about the law of consecration. And as I look in the Hebrew, what's so special about the Hebrew language is how these words with these roots then have so many different meanings. As Rebecca said, these layers. And kadosh is one of them, where you change the verbal tense, you change the vowel around. It's so cool in Hebrew that it can also be to set apart. It is to consecrate. And it is all of those things. And those things are what I've been pondering a lot about, is how to further set myself apart when you're set apart for a calling, to consecrate yourself to the Lord, to His gospel. And that word teaches me, just by studying the word, about those very things, about setting myself apart, about consecrating myself, about these higher laws taught in the temple. And that's just what one word can do. So you can imagine what many others can as well.
Yeah, for sure. I know. I'm the same way. My favorite word kind of changes every week, right? Yes, like, where am I at? Yes. But one of my favorites right now is the word hayil. And this is a noun, and it means strength, wealth, or army. But it's really an interesting word because it means more than that. Because in the scriptures, this word is used to describe the character of some pretty awesome people.
Yeah.
We look at Gideon in the book of Judges, and the Lord calls him a mighty man of valor. Yeah. So the word valor there, right? Hayil.
Yeah.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And then Ruth also is called a woman of high yield. And one translation was a noble woman. Yeah. I really like that. And then one of my favorites in Proverbs, and everyone knows this one, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. So that word virtuous is high yield. But the thing about this that I like is that it really does embody all of this. Mm-hmm. It's about strength, courage, capability, power, valor, virtue, like all of it. And so, you know, they take that scripture in Proverbs and it's like, who can find a powerful and strong and capable and, you know, woman of valor and virtue, right? Like all of it.
Mm-hmm. Let's reframe that. Let's reteach that for young girls.
Yes, because it's so, so important. Yes. Because when you read that and you say, that's who I want to be.
Yeah.
It's so good. Oh, I can step up. Like, I want to be that woman.
Yep.
It's so neat. So there it is. High yield.
Love it. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Great choice.
I love all of these. And as you've stated, we could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I think once the camera's off, we should stay for another 3 or 4 hours.
All right.
And just talk. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm like you. I can't choose a favorite, but I ask you to, so I'm going to.
Yes.
So one that I really like is also found in many church hymns, and it's hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It's actually two words. I'm not trying to take two.
Cheater.
Hallelujah is an imperative or a command form in the Hebrew, and it's plural. So it's talking to a group of people, praise, and then the hallelujah is a short form of Jehovah, and praise Jehovah, praise the Lord. And it's so powerful. And when we get a church hymn and it has hallelujah or hallelujah, I'm just so touched, partly because I know exactly what the word means. And I know its power, and it's a command form, praise Jehovah. They're not saying, oh, will you consider praising the Lord? Or will you think about it? Or once a week, will you praise the Lord? It's a command. Praise Jehovah. So that's one of my favorites.
Good one. I like those. Well, I think all of us would agree. I think we would all say hallelujah and praise the Lord that we've had the chance to study Hebrew, apply it to the scriptures, and truly praise the Lord because it has changed all of our lives. Yes. Agreed?
Yes.
Agreed. So
amen.
Thank you for your answers. Thanks for this awesome discussion. We might stay after. I got stuff to say. So thank you so much, friends. This has been a great discussion, and thank you for watching. Go to your scriptures, mark these words, and teach the meanings to your friends and your family because it really does elevate your understanding and knowledge, not just of the scriptures, but of Jesus Christ. Have a great week. Shalom and goodbye.